This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're kicking off hour two here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. He's JVT. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Coming up in 30 minutes, VSiN's own Adam Burke is going to join us in studio. We'll talk plenty of Major League Baseball, which we're actually going to get into a little bit here.
Is Adam Burke in studio?
A moment as well. Is he not?
Wow. Interesting how that works, huh, Ortega? Interesting how that works.
I don't know what that means,
All of a sudden, you're not here last week, and Adam just can't make it in studio.
He's a very busy man.
But all of a sudden, we're right back on schedule, huh?
Hey, would you look at that. We'll get to him a little bit later. We will also, as we did in hour one with the NBA, looking at stat leaders. We'll do the same exercise in the NBA, in the NHL Stanley Cup final. But let's start with a little bit of baseball here, because we do have a 15-game slate. It is Jack Cag's day, and yesterday we broke down a lot of the conversation around Jack Caglione. For anyone who doesn't know who that is, he is a very highly touted prospect for the Kansas City Royals that has been bet a lot in the Rookie of the Year market, despite Jacob Wilson being a $4 favorite in some places. He is as low as 6-1, JVT, all of a sudden for Rookie of the Year, 10-1 at DraftKings, and that's kind of the more widely available number, but down from 40-1-ish like a week ago. Taking on St. Louis today, Royals plus 125, underdogs at the Cardinals minus 148 favorites. The total here, 9, and it looks like the Cardinals continuing to get bet a little bit more. Michael Lorenzen and Andre Pallante going head-to-head.
Yeah, Pallante is a dude, too, that I guess if there was opportunity, it could be here. Against him, the numbers are pretty below average, right? 4.23 ERA, 4.74 fielding independent. If there's a guy that could allow you to start your MLB career off with a bang, it could be Pallante here. It should be noted that three starts ago, he was on the road against Kansas City and pitched relatively well. 7 innings, only 7 hits, 2 earned runs, struck out 4, didn't walk any. So Pallante against this lineup as a whole did have success in recent memory, so maybe that's going to help him out here when he faces them again one more time. But you're right, like, screw the notes, screw everything about this game, screw the $1.40 price tag on the open. This is all whether or not Cags is going to come out here and be everything we expected him to be. Would it be he'll probably come out and just be like 0-for-4 with like 2 strikeouts, and then but eventually will be great. Who knows? But like, this is what it's going to be all about today, is whether or not Caglione comes out and performs to the expectation that everybody has heaped upon him.
And with this series being on the road, I've heard a lot of reporters for the Royals saying expect a lot of blue in the stands today, that people want to travel to see this kid make his debut because it is not going to be at home. And listen to some of the prop odds for him today. While at DraftKings, you're getting the best number on him to hit a home run, plus 650. Largely everywhere else, it's between plus 420, plus 460. So DraftKings is very off market compared to everyone else. If you do want to buy in on him, he's minus 180 to minus 200 to have a hit.
Okay.
Plus 300 for 2 plus hits. Will he score a run, plus 160? Will he drive in a run, plus 170? We gave out the numbers yesterday that he's had in AA and AAA, 15 home runs, 56 RBI in those 50 games, only striking out 20% of his plate appearances. I do wonder, in Major League Baseball, is it different to an extent than other sports making your debut because you play so many games all the time? Or is like the big league debut, is it still just a massive nerves type of a moment? For pitchers, I feel like it's more intense than it is for hitters.
Sure. I mean, I think I would agree with you on that. I still go back to one of my favorite. It's terrible. But like 2 years ago, Femi Abebefe and I were doing Live Bet Saturday, and Brian Wu made his major league debut against the Rangers. And they kept showing his folks in the stands, and then he proceeded to get just shelled. Like, just absolutely rocked. And he turned out to be a very good pitcher. But to your point about pitching, like, look, you have a lot more on your plate than, hey, I'm a hitter, I'm going to come up like 4 times. Let's see if I can get a hit or do whatever. So I don't think, like, from a nerves standpoint, you're probably going to be anywhere. And I think it helps, like, you know, you're not in L.A. playing the Dodgers, or you're not in New York playing the Yankees or some of these powerhouse teams. You're getting to start in St. Louis against Andre Pallante. Like, I think that's really going to help you out. Nothing against Mr. Pallante, but I feel like if you're talking about being a little too nervous for the moment, this might not be one of those situations.
I mean, potentially a good opportunity for him, his first 6 games up in the bigs at St. Louis, and then you get the White Sox to follow up that series. So there you go. As you went through the rest of the card today, where are some places that you think could be a numbers advantage?
Well, I mean, we've got to go back to the series.
We got to go back to the series
of the week, right? Colorado at Miami. Chase Dolander's getting the start. He's coming off the IL. Sandy Alcantara is going to get the start here for the Marlins. And I will just, I will phrase this again like I tried to earlier, except I didn't do it properly. Stormy, I'm going to remove everything. And I'm going to tell you that a pitcher in his last six starts that has an ERA over 10 and a fielding independent nearly at 6 with a hard hit rate of 44% is now a $1.75 favorite today. Would you feel comfortable in laying that price? Because I'm going to say probably not. This is where we're at here. And look, Dolander at his numbers, I'm going to make sure that he is still starting because on my fantasy team, he was still listed on the IL. But with Dolander getting this start, he's coming off of the IL. His previous two starts, and I think they switched it. Ah, come on. This might be it. I think they changed it. Let me get a double check here because on ESPN.
He's still the listed pitcher on DraftKings right
okay.
now.
Okay. All right. So if it is Dolander, let's keep that in mind. So you're going to want to make sure that this is listed instead of action. But I want Dolander out here only because on the surface, his numbers don't look great, right? We're talking about an ERA over 6, fielding independent over 6 as well. But if you look at his two starts right before he went on IL, he allowed 2 runs or fewer in 3 of his last 4. In the two previous starts at Texas and at Arizona, 2.53 ERA, had struck out 31% of the batters he had faced. He's the Rockies' top prospect. He does have some stuff to work with here, and he started to show it a little bit in the two starts prior to going on the IL with forearm tightness. So, and by the way, they didn't give him a rehab start, so it sounds like it was pretty routine, tightness, and then just get right back out there, kid. So I think he's going to be all right. Look, I think, again, we're just going back to the basic concept of betting, which is I think the market is too high. I think we are now seeing a point where the Rockies are getting really, or at least their opponents, are getting overpriced. I think the probability of the Marlins winning this game is not as high as the market is saying. I don't think the probability of the Rockies winning this game is as low as they are saying. So I'll take my shot one more time. Same concept as yesterday. Rockies team total over 3.5 and Rockies on the money line.
Okay. I'm not betting it, but I'm rooting for you again. Because if we can go back to back, that'd be awesome.
Yes, not right. And we're not going to list it. I want Dolander out there. So if it's not going to be him, just keep that in mind. Because ESPN has Tanner Gordon listed, I think. So keep that in mind, too, because I think I want Dolander out there. I don't know if what's going on in terms of the listed pitcher. But either way, this is theater, man. Okay. This is what we're waiting
for,
right?
That's what it's all about.
Can they
go 2 in a row?
It's a fascinating series.
I agree. The Marlins, especially with that pitcher,
yes,
should not be listed as that high a favorite. The fact that they closed minus 200 yesterday is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So right. I get it from a number standpoint. I just can't put my money on Colorado. I just don't have it in me at this point in the season yet, but I'm rooting for you full force here.
And the best thing is, since we did it yesterday, we're up.
It's fine because you already did it. The one game that I like more than the others is Rangers Rays under 8 is what I put in pocket this morning. Tyler Mahle and Drew Rasmussen going head-to-head. Mahle 5-2 with a 1.64 ERA. 11 starts this season, only given up more than 2 runs in 1 start, and it was a 3-run showing. Rasmussen 2.33 ERA, currently on a stretch of 18 scoreless innings, has not given up a run his last 3 starts. And just going through these teams as a whole, Rangers one of the best teams to the under in Major League Baseball this season, 40-19-1 to the under. Rays have been a good team to the under as well, 5th best in baseball, even at home, which is considered more of a hitter's park. Still 21-13-3 to the under at home, both offenses middling at best. Your Rangers, who we love, third worst OPS in baseball still. So I feel like that's an underplay through and through, and will probably close a little bit lower than 8.
Sure. Would you consider, because Mahle and Rasmussen are such a big part of this, facing these lineups, the one thing that I've started to do a little bit more, a first 3 under.
What's
so,
the number?
1.5. So first 3 under 1.5. I'll tell you exactly what the price is here. At plus 154. So it kind of, like with the first 5, you know, by the time, and this happens very frequently to me, is by the time you get to like the 5th inning or so, you'll start to get in that territory where you're facing the lineup for a third time. These guys get a little bit more comfortable. They've seen the hitter, they've seen the pitcher twice. You get a lot of those crooked numbers in like that 4th or 5th inning because that's nearing the third time to the order. And that may be when you're talking about just getting the lineup 2 times here, the first 3 innings, if you're comfortable and that guy is really moving, if we're talking about Mahle or Rasmussen, that it might help you out. Like, for example, later today, Hunter Green and Freddie Peralta are going to go at it. I played first 3 under 1.5 at plus 130, but just think about it.
I like the plus money price. That's an angle that I hadn't considered. So maybe I could throw that in for a little fun one.
I'm going to bet it.
Okay.
Let's have some fun.
All right. Then the other game I was looking at, I don't know if you have any thoughts on it. I bet the Cubs this morning minus 150. It opened like minus 140-ish. I do. And especially against the Nationals. Bet up now to minus 162. But this is mostly just a spot in my brain where Trevor Williams, yes, he's coming off a really good start on the road against Seattle, but that is not the norm for him, especially at home. He's been worse at home than on the road. 1-2 at home, an ERA of 6.48 across 5 starts. Cubs lineups love to see a right-handed pitcher coming. What do you think?
I think if you're going to play devil's advocate and push against your thought for Williams, it's that there are some underlying numbers that make it seem like he's got some better things coming, right? Okay. Like he doesn't have a high barrel rate. He doesn't walk a ton of guys. He's not really going to, like, mow dudes down. It's never really been his game. His expected numbers, like expected ERA, is floating around like 380. So maybe he's just gotten a little bit of bad luck when you look at his overall profile. Batting average on balls in play, well above average at 328. So maybe this is just a dude that's gotten a little unlucky in the time that he's been out there on the mound. Even his fielding independence floating around like 4 flat. So, like, it's a lot better than what you're looking at. Having said that, this is still one of the better lineups in baseball.
Yeah.
And it's not like are you going to bank on the regression hitting immediately for Williams? And even if it does, you could still be in a position where he's not given enough support, whatever it is, to actually get this done. So I would not say absolutely not. But Williams is one of those dudes that stuck out to me as maybe a buy on potentially moving forward.
That's fair. And maybe in other situations. I just don't think I like it against the Cubs. Fourth in OPS and slugging. Plus the Cubs bullpen the last 2 weeks has been the best in baseball too. So that's why I like the full game angle more than kind of condensing it to the first five in this one. And by the way, while we're talking plenty of Major League Baseball, we'll be talking plenty of college baseball as well coming up tomorrow and throughout this weekend with the Super Regionals getting underway. We will be on the road for the College World Series. Our show, as well as Follow the Money, going live June 12th through the 14th at Rocco's, the iconic home of the Jell-O Challenge. So if you're in the neighborhood, if you're out there in Omaha, make sure you come by Rocco's, hang out with us. We may or may not have a Stanley Cup final wager that will come to fruition at Rocco's as well. Still TBD on what exactly we're going to do there. But
can I get Paul Howard to take a Jell-O shot?
I think you should absolutely at least try.
Oh, yeah. They're just holding me down and make him do it.
We're going to take a quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. Adam Burke joining us for the final half hour as well, so stick around for it all.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Triple Crown is just about here, the Belmont Stakes, and no better time to place a bet on the races than right now with First Bet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus when you use the promo code VSIN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to horse racing, First Bet has all the tools to help elevate your game. You can download the app or head over to firstbet.com/VSIN to sign up today. That's firstbet.com, the number one, STBET.com/VSIN, and use that promo code VSIN200 to get your $200 bonus. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you back here in downtown Las Vegas. Going to get into a little Stanley Cup final talk here. The rematch about to get underway tomorrow between the Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers. I actually was very excited today and unexpectedly got a little bit of support from Ian McMillan on the show, because I thought, especially given that he saw the Florida Panthers do what they did to the Toronto Maple Leafs, he would be all Panthers. Why are you laughing?
I mean, it's me. I don't know why that's you would if you're nervous about my hockey pick. We're in a very bad spot here. I feel like you're in a pretty good position. I'm still waiting for the Carolina Hurricanes to show up in that Eastern Conference.
So bad.
The most disrespected team. I was still right. The other probability played out. I was still right. It was a very good bet on the Carolina Hurricanes. Probability-wise, they had a much better shot at winning that series than the market thought.
Yeah, really played out that way as well on the ice.
The other percentage. Like, I tell Matt Humans all the time. Matt Humans would always get mad because we would
do
these.
Are you a big non-zero chance guy?
No, it's just Matt Humans would always get pissed because, like, we would always have these games we would discuss where, like, the win probability was, like, 97.8%, you know, whatever, and then the team would lose. And I was like, Matt, you just don't understand. Like, the 2.2% happened. Like, that's just what happened in the Eastern Conference Finals. If they played it 1,000 times, I'm sure the Hurricanes would have won more.
If that's the support for your argument, then we're in trouble there as well.
Can't prove me wrong.
That said, as far as this series goes, the Oilers have taken a little bit of money in the set out to around minus 120 price in game one, a slightly larger favorite, minus 130 for that one coming up tomorrow. The game total at 6.5 is juiced to the under, minus 125. As far as that game goes total-wise, game ones are such a toss-up, feel-out game to me that I feel like we could get a super high-scoring game or we could get, like, a 3-1 game.
I do love the certain cliches we as a general, like, populace use when it comes to some of these, right?
Sorry, that is a cliche, but it's
right.
True.
The feel-out game.
But it's true.
Like, there's also game ones that are, like, complete and utter, like, up-and-downs, like, high-scoring affairs. Like, maybe it is a feel-out game, maybe it isn't. Do you need a feel-out game against a team that you played 7 against last year, that you've played multiple times this year, and that you probably have some film on, right? Like, you're in general, to your point, though, like, I think that this lends itself to being an under series because you can answer this question better. I feel like when you're talking about dictating tempo, I'll call it, for lack of a better term, in terms of hockey, I think Florida's going to be able to establish their fingerprint on this series easier, right? Like, they're going to be able to make this, like, ugly and mucky and, like, get super physical and make this a somewhat low-scoring game. If that is, then just them feeling themselves out, whatever it is. But, like, I tend to lean under somebody who likes Florida, and I also think that their style in terms of implementing that on a series is easier to do.
So my only, like, overarching point in saying that and calling it a feel-out game is just saying that we can get any sort of result in this game that wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. I do think the Edmonton Oilers win it, but how they win it, I'm not necessarily sure. And because you referenced the series last year, we had games that were a 3-0 shutout on one side and an 8-1 result on the other. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. I do like the Oilers in game one, though, and because I like the Oilers in the series, I was contemplating a +165 on Edmonton double to win result. Game one and the set. Yeah, I think that could be an interesting play just because they're -120 for the series and make it plus money in some way.
Sure. I'm always hesitant for those because, like, so, like, I'm somebody who, again, going back to, like, sample size, right, like, I think over the course of whatever, that the team that I'm betting on is going to win, right? So if you believe that, just bet it. You know, because there is a reality in which Edmonton obviously loses game one and still goes on to win the series. So I'm always a proponent of, because in essence, too, when you're talking about, like, cutting into it, you're still betting into a series price that all of those other markets are derived from, right? So I think that you're somebody who very, very much believes in the Edmonton Oilers. Just bet those suckers to win this series.
Yeah.
You know, you think they're going to do it. You seem very confident that it's going to be. We had a Canadian man come on, Ian McMillan, and tell you that was the case as well. So I feel like, you know, if you're buying into it, do it. Because I'd also say, too, like, at -120 or so, is that really a price that you would want to cut into so bad because of, right?
No,
you see
I'm
what
just
I'm
trying to add on to it, basically.
Sure.
Because
you're getting greedy.
I wouldn't say getting greedy, but it's like, okay, if I'm going to bet -120 for the series and I like Edmonton in game one, am I going to bet a -120 and a -130? Maybe I end up doing that too in both separate bets, but if I can put one together that pays +165, I don't hate that either. We mentioned earlier the update on Connor McDavid. He did leave the ice at practice on Sunday early with a trainer, Chris Knobloch.
Like my chances.
Chris Knobloch said,
I'm getting nervous.
He does not expect it to be an issue. He'll be good to go for game one.
What's he supposed to say? The guys were screwed. Like, I'm really nervous about this. He's not 100% healthy. Everybody, it's over.
So where I was going to go with
it's
this,
toast.
Though,
done.
Obviously last year he was unbelievable in the finals, unbelievable
the
in the playoffs.
Sound is your knees knocking together.
Set records as the highest scoring player ever in a final. Had 42 points last postseason, 11 in the final. And I like him to lead all players in the postseason again this year. If you're getting plus money on him in this market, I think you take it.
In the postseason or for the series?
For the series,
okay.
Excuse me.
All right. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
+130.
Like, if you're – that seems correlated, right? As somebody who thinks that the Oilers are going to win this series, then I think it would make sense that you're going to bet him here. All right, let me ask you, because, again, I trust your judgment more than mine. Let us go down the path and say that I'm right and Florida wins this series. Mm-hmm. Who would be then – the guy who leads in points? Would it still be an Oiler, or who would you look at for some of these Florida guys?
I think it probably still would be an Oiler.
Okay.
I think it would be Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, and we saw that last year in the final two, where the Oilers lose.
Right.
Connor McDavid still sets all these records. I think that's very possible. I think the odds board has it correct that Barkov at 9-1 is the next shot for the Florida Panthers. There's actually another market, one of those head-to-heads, where you have Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk head-to-head for points. Tkachuk was -125 and Barkov's -105. I love Barkov in that. I think that I really think he's going to have the better series between the two. I think people are all over Tkachuk because he had such a good series against Carolina, 7 points in those five games. But he was really good against Carolina 2 years ago in the playoffs too. And I think some players are just really good against certain teams. Barkov, to me, is going to have the edge against Edmonton between those two.
How deep would you go on this board? Like, how realistic is it that, like, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins can lead this series in points?
I would go even farther.
Really?
If I'm looking for somebody to really take a shot, Anton Lindell is 120-1.
Okay.
If we're just getting wild, we're
sure,
getting weird, right? But I'm just, hypothetically, he should have more favorable line matchups because he's not going to be out there against McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah.
He, Marchand, and Listerainen have combined for 39 points in the first three rounds. He's got 12 points in 17 games, only five behind Barkov for the postseason as a whole. So why couldn't he step up in a series like this where some of those top guys are going to have more defensive responsibilities?
Okay.
Just a thought.
No, of course.
I mean, like,
makes sense.
We're throwing spaghetti at a wall here, see what might stick. But if I'm looking down the board, I would rather go, I would take one of the short shots, or I would go really far down and just take a shot.
Sure. Okay.
As far as most goals, I brought this up to you yesterday. Mm-hmm. I really don't think Sam Bennett should be this far down on the board for the Florida Panthers. I really like him in that market at 11-1.
Anybody else? So what, Drysdale's a favorite, plus 275?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's interesting, too, that like he and Corey Perry have the same amount of goals right now at this point in the postseason. But yeah, he's got 7. McDavid's got 6. Reinhardt, I would avoid just because I'm not sure how healthy he is. Yes, he came back, has a couple assists, but, I mean, dinged up on a team that does spread it out a lot. So there are other Panthers that I would take, notably Sam Bennett, who actually leads the postseason in goals right now. He's got 10. He's got 3 more than any other guy, yet he's down there at 11-1 like he's a nobody.
Okay.
I don't get it.
All right, let me ask you this then in this last 90. So my guy that I was going to play against, Isaiah Hartenstein, maybe not a dude that you're going to play against, but a player that you don't think is going to play as pivotal a role that many might think.
Well, I think Sam Reinhardt would be one of those guys for me, for sure. I just don't, I'm not convinced that he's as healthy as people think that he is right now.
All right, we're firing on Sam Reinhardt unders. That's what I'm hearing.
Maybe. Shots on goal was an interesting market, too. And I think appropriately, McDavid and Bennett, the top two in those. And I would pick one of those guys. And you're getting good plus money on it. Like, plus 220, plus 350 for Sam Bennett. A lot of these options. I would have thought that Connor McDavid would have been a shorter shot in that market. So as long as you think he's healthy, which I do, and I'm trusting Chris Knobloch on that, then we'll be good.
I'm finding our guy. I'm trying to find some numbers.
Fading
on our dude.
Sam Reinhardt.
No. Or... I want to bet this long shot. I'm in on Anton Lindell.
I just think there's potential there.
You know where he's born?
Where?
Espoo, Finland.
I would not have guessed S. Is that the proper pronunciation?
Espoo.
So I'm going it sounds right. Yeah. I don't know a lot of Finnish pronunciations, but
you were just out there, right? Or no, that's
no. I wasn't in Finland. I was in Switzerland.
It's all the same thing.
It's not all the same thing.
It kind of is.
No, I got it.
So we said points
though.
For Lindell. Is that what it was?
I was very correct. Yes, 120-1. I saw.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, the most surprising thing about Switzerland, which I didn't know, and apparently is pretty commonly known, that it is extremely expensive for food there. Like the visuals, every American goes to Switzerland's like, I want to live here. This is so amazing. And then you spend $40 for a hamburger.
175 to 1. Let's go.
Oh, you found a good one. Yep. There we go. Fire away. We'll be right back. Adam Burke joined us, final half hour.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let it be known, I cannot handle the way my co-host is treating me today when it comes to food takes and commercial breaks as we welcome you back here to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you as we welcome into our chaotic, as always, conversations. Adam Burke live in studio with us here at Circa Resort and Casino. I'm very sorry that you had to walk into mom and dad fighting about Macayo's / Eddie's here in terms of Las Vegas Mexican cuisine.
It's okay. I think it's very alluring that you guys don't get along during breaks. And then all of a sudden the lights come on. It's time to be back on air. And you're just back to normal?
A regular Mike and Mike dynamic, actually. You know,
there you go. Exactly.
Each other during commercial breaks.
Not quite. I do like peeling behind the curtain, though, at times. Just telling people what's really going on here.
There's also commercial breaks.
There's VSiN Plus subscription.
That's right.
We talk about it all the time. We need to brand it.
I don't know that we do. Yeah. I don't know that we do. Some of the things that are said probably shouldn't be out there in the open.
Oh, I'd say anything.
Including JVT's Mexican food.
We're on SiriusXM.
That is true. We're also on 350 terrestrial radio stations.
Yeah. Say what you want. That's it.
I don't say everything and anything to anybody.
Adam Burke, VSiN.com managing editor, joining us here in studio. Follow him on X as well at Skating Tripods. We're going to get into plenty of Major League Baseball. You've got an article up at VSiN.com right now. But I always like finding out from you kind of what's going on the website right now. Obviously, we've got NBA and NHL Stanley Cup Finals that are coming on this week. But what all should people be aware of that we have on deck?
Well, there's a lot of sports betting content.
So, no. Yeah.
No. So Mike Somich actually just put together a draw breakdown and a pace report for the Belmont Stakes coming up here this weekend.
Great.
Obviously, it's not a big field, but It's a really interesting field, especially in terms of the top four favorites there. Greg Peterson posts his MLB picks overnight. That's definitely something worth checking out so you can get in front of the market. He's typically a guy that does beat the market with his numbers, so that's a really good thing for you to check out. A lot of college baseball stuff. I heard you talking about that as I was coming in here today. Matt Grissom will have a Super Regionals guide coming up. All you have to do is register. You can get that guide for free. VSiN.com/CWS is in College World Series. He'll probably have that up tomorrow, would be my guess, tomorrow or Thursday. But, you know, we just keep chugging along, and we're less than a month away now, actually 4 weeks away from our NFL betting guide for 2025 coming out. So I will be hounding you probably in a week or so just to make sure that you get your best bets in for the guide before your deadline of June 24th. And I know you will send them on June 26th or something like that. So
I always meet the deadline.
Really?
I always meet the deadline.
I mean, I'm not one to criticize.
There are others that I have to chase down.
I'm just one of the people that requires the text message or the email reminder.
Several reminders? Yeah.
Not several. Just the one that you hit the morning of or the day before. That's the one.
You have to put it in your calendar. We've talked about this before. Like when us and our significant others go out to dinner, you put it in your calendar. Then it's there. It's gospel. You know it's happening.
I know. And it's not hard for me to do. I know. I understand. I'll be ready. I'll be prepared.
That's all I can ask, is that you're prepared.
Sometimes.
Yes. Okay. Anyway. all right. I don't know how long that bit was going. Let's go to today. I don't care about your article. I do. But I don't know if you wrote about this, but I need to get your thoughts on it. I think it's the series of the week, Adam. The Rockies and the Marlins. Come on now. We're doing this again, right? We're going back to the well. So Dolander's getting the start. He's their top prospect. Last two starts before the IL stint. He looked okay. Alcantara stinks. Come on. We're right back to the well here, are we not?
So I really thought about it. And again, I did text you yesterday. Great call on Colorado. That was one that I looked at. I didn't have the stones to pull the trigger. Obviously, you did. So good for you. I just don't like betting on guys in their first start back off the IL. I just think it's such a difficult spot for them sometimes to just know what you're going to get, right? I mean, they're so excited to come back. I mean, in the case of coming back to the Rockies, maybe you're not quite as excited, but still, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to get from a command standpoint. As you mentioned, last two starts are really good. And I think it's also worth pointing out that Dolander's last two starts against Texas and Arizona, both on the road.
Yep.
And he's been much better on the road than he has been at home, which is hardly surprising when Coors Field is your home ballpark. I just, when you don't make any rehab starts, when it's just sim games and side sessions and all of that, I don't know how you're going to do in game conditions. But the first thing I took away from this game is that the price does seem definitely too high of a favorite role for Miami.
I mean, in fairness, it'll be a very raucous environment in front of 65 people out there in Miami. Right.
Dude, it was so sad. It was so, and you see the pictures that have made the rounds on social media too, where you just see like all the blue seats and like nobodies.
It's bad, dude. It's nobody shows up. So I like for whatever you price home field into with this game, at least, or these series, you're giving it nothing. I just think this is the problem. I think not the problem, the difficulty with betting money line sports in general. I think we could be right in, like, I've been joking, right? Like, I was right the whole time with Carolina. Like, I think you're actually right in playing Colorado yesterday. Obviously, you got there. Today, I think you're right in doing it, too. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the win. But I think, in theory, that they have a higher probability of winning this game. And I think that it is the right bet, no matter what the result is going to be tonight.
VSiN.com Managing Editor Adam Burke joining us here in studio at Circa for the final half hour of the program. As you went through the 15-game slate today, what was the first thing that really caught your eye other than, wow, the Rockies, baby, other than that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there were a lot of games that I thought were really intriguing that I couldn't find anything that I really liked in them. I think there's a lot of interesting pitching matchups here tonight, but I will talk about a game that you guys already talked about, and it's that Cubs and Nationals game. I actually took the Nationals' first five team total over in this one. So Cade Horton is off to a pretty nice start as a starter, but I think it's really important to point out, and we just talked about these two teams, Colorado and Miami, neither one of them are any good. So Horton, he's made three starts here so far this season and one relief appearance. One of them is Colorado. One of them is on the road at Miami, whereas we talked about already, nobody goes to the games. It's a great pitching environment because it's an indoor ballpark, all of that. One was against the White Sox, who also aren't very good. But he did give up three runs over five innings in that start. Gave up three runs in four innings in a rehab appearance, or not a rehab, a relief appearance against the Mets. So I took the Nationals' first five team total over 2.5. You know, just a step up in class here. Washington's offense has been pretty good. They're a top 10-ish type of offense over the last 2 weeks. Anytime I get plus money on an over team total with a pitcher who's really stepping up in class, to your point, JVT, it might lose, But I think the process is accurate with something like that.
All right, let's ask this big picture question first, and then we can get it down to a game like today against your Guardians. But how big a deal is this at the back end of the bullpen for the Yankees losing out on Luke Weaver with this hamstring injury?
I mean, the fact that Devin Williams is kind of stabilized, I think, helps it
a
little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's always an issue when you lose a guy, especially a guy that Aaron Boone goes to a ton. I mean, he really wore that guy out late in the year last year, so not surprised that he's having some soft tissue injuries, stuff like that. It becomes more of an issue if the offense isn't performing. And the nice thing for the Yankees is throughout most of the year, their offense has performed pretty well, or at least Aaron Judge has performed pretty well. When you're playing a lot of 2-1, 3-2 types of games, like if Luke Weaver was on the Guardians, I'd be much more concerned about it because they don't win by margin ever. The Yankees at least have the potential to win by margin. So, yeah, I don't know how long Weaver is going to be out, but it is one of those things where, you know, if you're missing 10, 12, 15 appearances on a team that can win by, you know, a significant amount of runs, not as big of a deal as it is with a team like Cleveland, where they're going to need a guy like that because they win 3-2, 4-2 all the time.
Yeah, and despite, like you said, despite the 6.23 ERA, his last like 13 appearances or so, Williams has looked a lot better.
Yes.
Because that was
going
to be my thing, was like, hey, maybe we, like, in game, wait for Williams to get in here and see what it's going to be. But then you look back at the numbers, you're like, oh no, he's going to be fine.
Well, that's the thing about reliever stats too. Like, you have a couple of blowups early in the season. Your sample size is so small, it's hard to bring that down. You know, starters at this point in time, they have enough of a sample size. Like Bailey Ober for the Twins, for example, gave up like 8 runs in his second start of the year. But he's in the low 3s now because he's built up enough sample size. If you're a reliever and you have one of those gigantic blowups, it takes you forever. So it's really important to not just take reliever and or bullpen stats for what they are on the surface. You want to look a little bit deeper and see, you know, because we had, what was it, the Brewers and Red, was it like 19-5 or something like that? Like, if you have a bad bullpen day or a position player pitches, it skews the smaller sample size numbers. So that's something you really want to factor in to the process of handicapping.
For the Yankees, Fernando Cruz is supposed to be back too, right? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as far as this other one I'm looking in your article, you have Tigers-White Sox action. The Tigers wrecked Chicago yesterday, 13-1. They've won 7 of their last 8. What do you think about them today?
Yeah, so I like the under in this game here today. I don't know if Sawyer Gibson Long is going to get the start for the Tigers or not. That wasn't determined when I published my article here today. But I don't think they're going to go with an opener because Brant Herter has to pitch tomorrow when they're doing a bullpen game. So I think Gibson Long will get the start. Shane Smith gets the call for the White Sox here. The Tigers offense, I mean, they've been winning a lot of games. They, you know, have one of the best records, if not the best record in the American League over the last several weeks here. But they're still not really hitting a ton. And so I think Smith is a guy that can miss bats. He keeps the ball in the ballpark at a very, very good rate, 7.1% home run to fly ball percentage. It's hard to score lots of runs against those guys when you can't hit the multi-run homers. And Gibson Long is a guy, elite extension, 99th percentile extension. So he's a guy where his velocity plays up a little bit. Really, really good changeup. Probably only going to go 3-4 innings in this game, but he'll at least give Detroit a start to hand it over to a really good bullpen. So I took the under 8.5 in this Tigers and White Sox game.
Okay. Full best bets for the show coming up next. We'll get some MLB, NHL, NBA as well. And as we said about Adam, that article for today's MLB breakdown available at VSiN.com. And when you're a subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe, you'll also get Greg Peterson's breakdown that Adam mentioned. Steve Mackinnon's got his MLB bullpen systems update and plenty more as we get set for the NBA and NHL Stanley Cup finals coming up this week. We're going to take a quick timeout. Best bets presented by G-Bank after the break. Don't go anywhere.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tuesday edition of Money Moves, live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158, alongside JVT, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We got VSiN.com Managing Editor Adam Burke on the desk with us as well, as it's time to do our best bets for the day. And I feel like we have a lot of them covering a handful of different sports. So let's get into it, JVT. You want to make that Rockies play officially official?
Yeah, Rockies money line. Rockies team total over 3.5. Same thing as yesterday. We'll go back to the well as we discussed here. And I'm really interested to see. And now we'll specify. Because ESPN still has somebody else listed as the starter. So I would say I want Dolander as the starter for the Rockies. So don't go action. Make sure it's listed. But either way, if that's going to be my guy, let's roll. Again, I think it's the right play. Even if they lose, I think that I will be able to sleep at night knowing I did the right thing here.
And like we talked about yesterday, too, since you got the good plus money price on Colorado yesterday, even if you lose today, you're still up.
Yes, and I'm sure that the praise will be just as effusive for me if they do it again as it was yesterday.
Well, make sure to clip it so that you get all of the social media.
That's right. I don't think the guy who created the polio vaccine got as much praise as I did yesterday. It's great.
Oh goodness. Okay, Adam. Anywhere you want to go here? Maybe a game you haven't touched on yet.
I don't know how to follow that.
No, we pretend we don't hear it and move on.
That makes sense. All right, so I'm going to go with one that I didn't talk about earlier. So. Padres and Giants here tonight. Ryan Burgert, who I've never heard of until today, he makes the start for the Padres. So a guy who's made 4 relief appearances, made 9 starts down in AAA. But the thing that's really interesting about him, he kind of profiles more as a reliever type of guy. So he doesn't really have a deep arsenal, but he throws a lot of fastballs. And the Giants are the worst offensive team against fastballs this season, according to StatCast's batting runs metric, by a large margin. We just talked about the Rockies. They're bad at pretty much everything. They're 29th in batting runs against fastballs. The Giants are 30th by a pretty significant amount. So they face a guy tonight who's probably going to be about 60% fastballs, loves to work up in the zone with it. I think over 3.5 strikeouts for Ryan Burgert is a pretty good play. He's probably going to go 4 or 5 innings in this one, so he may need a strikeout per inning. But he's a guy that's got really, really good raw stuff, good, you know, under-the-hood numbers on his fastball and his slider. So over 3.5 strikeouts at plus money. Given that I think it's a little bit underpriced because he hasn't made an MLB start yet, I think it's a pretty good look here tonight.
See if we get some runs in this one compared to yesterday. 1-0, 10-inning performance. Logan Webb was great. I have an under. So I had the under in that game yesterday. We'll see if I can get another under home today in Rangers Rays. Just Tyler Mahle, Drew Rasmussen, both really good. Mahle, 1.64 ERA. I mentioned the stat earlier in 11 starts. He's only given up more than 2 runs in 1. Rasmussen hasn't given up a run at all in his last 3. And for 2 teams that are really good to the under, middling batting lineups, Rangers really struggling at the plate. I feel like an under makes a lot of sense here. It's juice at minus 118 now. I bet at minus 110 this morning. So I'd say shop around, see if you can find a lower number.
I bet that first 3 under 1.5 plus 150.
I might add it. I like the angle.
You convinced me, so I'll send you an angry text if it doesn't hit.
I convinced you. Yep. I was talking about the full game. I don't know. I convinced you.
You get gift of gab. I was all in.
Yeah, you were
singing a song. All right, I think we should hit this because this is a bet of mine, but also I think this is a fascinating game today.
Okay.
Diamondbacks and Braves, Spencer Strider and Zach Gallen are going to go head-to-head. What the hell happened to Zach Gallen? I mean, this dude has been abysmal. If you look at his last 4 starts, 21 1/3, Stormy, 8.02 ERA, fielding independent over 5.5. He has struck out about less than 20% of the batters he's faced. He's been absolutely abysmal. Can't generate swings and misses. The contact numbers are horrendous. In terms of barrel rate in those 4 starts, 11%, 54% of batted balls have an exit velocity over 95 miles an hour. D-backs are 0-4 in his last 4 starts. They're 4-8 overall when he takes the hill. And look, we don't have a large sample size of work of Spencer Strider, but I think you can see that he's starting to work some stuff out. I believe he struck out 7 in his last start at Philadelphia. He's kind of finding the form that he was in. I think it's kind of fair to lay the half run here in the first 5 at a small dog price of minus 105 with Atlanta. I think it's kind of low-hanging fruit to go against Gallen, but this dude has been awful. And he doesn't have a single positive sign that tells us he's going to get better. For a dude that was that 2 years ago, Adam, where he had those weird home road splits where he was untouchable at home and just awful on the road, he has now just reverted to the awful road pitcher that he was that year.
Yeah, and this is the tough thing about betting on baseball, and you and I have kind of talked about this a little bit before. You get guys that have these regression signs, right? And Gallen is a guy that I went against quite often early last season because the hard hit percentage was so high. It was in like the mid-40s, which league average is typically about 39-ish percent. His was 45%. Barrel rate was up there, but he was still somehow getting outs. The thing for him this year now, he's not getting the strikeouts, as you mentioned. That gives you a lot of margin for error. You can strand runners on base. You get swings and misses. You get ahead in counts. Maybe the hard contact is on the ground instead of elevated. That's not the case here for Gallen. And the other thing I think about Gallen, too, I don't know how healthy he's been for a while. Like, the fastball velocity's kind of been trending in the wrong direction. Well, Corbin Burns just blew his elbow out. Eduardo Rodriguez does not look good at all. Brandon Fott is very hit or miss. Like, if Gallen is dealing with something, he's probably not going to say anything. He's going to try to work his way through it, which is, adds more ammunition to the fact that his command has been nowhere to be found in the last four starts. And if he is dealing with something, probably not going to get better as you go through the MLB season as he tries to help his team out with so many other injuries. So I think going against Gallen, not only today, but moving forward, is probably a pretty good idea. Yeah.
Maybe the Diamondbacks as a whole with the way things have been going.
Well, we talked about it, right? Yeah. Like everything he brought up right now, we talked about yesterday because we were talking about Burns and the fact that he goes out there and it looks like the elbow shot. He even says it. You can see it on the video, right? I think he says something like, it's my elbow. I'm done.
Yeah.
Dude, their pitching has been horrendous. And it's not even just the starters. Their bullpen has been terrible at times. This team that I thought was going to be very, very good, and look, they still potentially could be. The offense is very good, but their pitching staff as a whole, from starters to bullpen, has been so disappointing this year. And I think it's a big reason why both of these teams, I think we might be able to draw a line in pencil for getting into the postseason, because we don't even start on the Braves and how inconsistent they've been, despite the fact they're starting to get healthier.
Okay, we're going to go away from baseball for a moment to an NBA bet that I put in the account. The Thunder to go undefeated at home in the NBA Finals, minus 120. This stat from ESPN Stats and Information Group, the best playoff points per game differential at home of any team entering the NBA Finals in postseason history. They're outscoring teams by 24.6 points per game in the playoffs. They have just one loss in their home building. It was that 2-point loss to Denver, where Chet Holmgren couldn't make a free throw at the end when he really needed it. And they were up 11, I want to say, with like 4.5 minutes to go in
the
that game.
The game in which Mark Daigneault fouled very early, and even fouled when Jokic was on the bench for some reason. Yes, we all remember it.
Sorry. Yep. So I feel pretty good about OKC continuing to be dominant at home. The only times they've really struggled has been on the road. 29-1 also against Eastern Conference opponents in the regular season this year. So get it done at home, minus 120. I was just trying to think of a creative way to buy in on this OKC team, given how hefty the series price is, the series spread price, all these different things. So Thunder to handle business at home, minus 120.
Guys, I like it.
You guys got anything else best bets-wise, or you want me to pay the bills here?
Really quick, before you pay the bills, I'll just note that we talked about this as well. Brewers-Reds first three under 1.5 plus 130. Also on the docket for myself. Hunter Green versus Freddie Peralta. Green working his way back from injury. He's been kind of I think it's two starts since, but I think he's starting to calm down a bit. And Peralta's just Mr. Consistent. He's not going to give you six innings plus, but he'll give you five solid innings of work, and I think he'll be able to hold down a Reds lineup that's been awful. So we'll go first five under 1.5 plus 130. Or okay. First three under 1.5 plus 130.
Today's best bets, as always, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. And right now, we have a little trifecta going on, the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You'll get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet's going to give you another 100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. That's $500, the trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank for more information. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Real quickly, I do want to see if we can set the record straight here, Adam. JVT was not feeling so great that you weren't in studio last week, but you're in studio today. What's happening?
Sorry.
You just like me more?
Well, I mean, it's part of it. But also, last week, I apparently didn't set an alarm. So I woke up at like 9:15.
Oh, no.
And I was like, there's no way I can get the MLB article done and make it down to Circa in time. Okay. So that's the true story.
Was it a late night on a Monday?
No, I think my body needed it.
That's I thought fair. You're going to be a jerk and be like, well, you know, my dog died. And like, actually, I couldn't make it in. You make me look like a terrible person. That'd be very selfish.
I would never make you look like a terrible person.
Thank you. Thank you.
Intentionally.
This is intentionally. There you go. This is the beauty of technology, though. You can do these things from anywhere, but it is always better in person. We appreciate you making the drive out here today.
I'm sure he won't be able to make it in 2 weeks when I'm not here.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Something. Oh, you're not going to be here?
No.
I'll make it a point to be here.
Yeah.
Y'all are the worst.
Be the co-host today. Yeah.
That's a wrap for us today. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. Good luck with your bets. Looking forward to tomorrow. We will have the first game of the Stanley Cup Final to actually get into, preview, break it all down, plus some early super regional talk in college baseball. So for Adam Burke, Jonathan Bontobel, our producer Brian Ortega, and everybody back of house, we appreciate you. That's a wrap for Money Moves. Coming up next, prop points, as always, Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson on deck.